At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
A warm up from the low. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Heaps with myself, Greg Eatsbees, and now part of the VEASAN Family Podcast, and we've got a great podcast for you. In the second segment, we've got Kai McKeon joining me on the podcast. It's always great whenever we're able to get any of the gentlemen of the three-man weave on the podcast. Today, it's Kai that is going to be joining me. He wound up having, along with the other gentlemen over there at the three-man weave, a chat with Tommy Lloyd of Arizona, so we're going to be recapping that, and then that's that. We are going to be taking a look at the teams that have been able to do a good job with regards to maneuvering via the transfer portal. We're also going to be taking a look at some of these coaching moves and what guys have really been able to try to bring in players to really suit what they're going to be looking to do at their next program as well. So we're going to be having that chat on the other side. And we're also going to be having a little bit of a conversation as to how some of the biggest things in this offseason is actually not who you wind up landing in the transfer portal, but who you prevent from getting into the transfer portal, because we wound up seeing quite a few of these last few days. Star players that decide to go back to their school, Mike Miles over there at TCU. On Wednesday, it was Armando Bacot deciding to go back to North Carolina, and that could be actually bigger than who you wind up landing in the transfer portal. So we're going to be talking about that with Kai in the second segment, and then in the final segment, going to be recapping everything that we wound up getting in terms of news, notes, NBA draft decisions, what have you, from college basketball on Wednesday in that final segment. That includes Bacot deciding to go back to North Carolina, so we're going to put a nice little bow around everything, and if you've got a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at GUnit_81. Keep in mind, letters M, they mean does not matter, size per usual. Please just send these into the timeline, and the other way is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated, and then from there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. I know many of you guys are starting to get into baseball. Many of you guys are priming up for the NFL draft. Did not wind up having any questions. If you guys do have anything, because, well, got a lot of offseason, please do fire those in. Always more than happy to answer them, but did not wind up getting in anything today, so let's get right into the chat with Kai, and that's going to be on the other side right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Eatsbees, now part of the VEASAN Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools.
From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
In lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Heaps with myself, Greg Heaps Peterson, and it is great to be joined by our guest as Ty McKeon is doing absolutely terrific work over there at the three-man weave, and he also does some great work with the Field of 68 as well. As you may have caught the interview that the three-man weave did along with the Coach of the Year, Tommy Lloyd, who wound up doing absolutely amazing work over there at Arizona, I should say, Coach of the Year, depending upon which award you're looking at, because you're like 57 Coach of the Year awards at this point. But with that said, Kai, doing absolutely amazing work over there, taking a look at the game of basketball, much like myself. He grinds hard 12 months out of the year, and he is out there in the Midwest. And to be able to follow him on Twitter, you're able to follow him at KY underscore the number 3MW. And for the three-man weed, that is at the number 3MW underscore CBB. And Kai, great to have you aboard today. Thank you.
Hey, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you aboard. And how about if we wind up first starting with the chat that you wound up having with Mr. Tommy Lloyd? As we know, Arizona wound up having an absolutely terrific year this year. They exceeded so many expectations. They looked like the clear class out there in the Pac-12 now. Ben Mather did wind up declaring for the NBA draft on Wednesday. That was very much to be expected. I don't think that he was caught off guard with that. But what do you think the trajectory for Arizona is moving forward? And what did you gather from Lloyd in your conversation with him?
I will say the program's in good hands under Lloyd. Obviously, he did a fantastic job year one. He just has the right attitude as a coach. I'd want to play for him. He clearly has a ton of experience with Gonzaga, almost 20 years under Mark Few. That's about as good as a pedigree as you can get. He's going to keep bringing in top talent. He's going to keep hitting the international market hard, which is what he was known for at Gonzaga. And I think they're going to be awesome next year. Even if Mathurin, he's gone. Coloco hasn't decided yet, but wouldn't be surprised if they get Creasa back, Tubelos, Terry, a bunch of those guys, plus who the heck knows from the transfer portal. So that program's in good hands. Tommy Lloyd, excellent coach.
Totally agree with you there. And with the Pac-12, certainly has been a very top-heavy league the last few years. We will see if that winds up getting a little bit more evened out, but certainly Arizona won the top teams in all of college basketball. And at this time last year, Tommy Lloyd was being hired by Arizona. And we've seen quite a few coaching moves. The coaching carousel, it has calmed down a little bit more since a lot of the big-time coaching vacancies, they have been filled, the three over there in the Big East. Six with the SEC. I mean, you even take a look at a school like SMU. They wind up hiring on. a new coach as well. So we have seen a lot of movement with that regard. But with what we've seen with regards to some of these coaching moves, is there one or two that stand out as ones that you really like slash dislike? Because, boy, oh boy, it has been one of the most active off seasons that we've seen for coaching moves that I can ever remember.
Yeah, tons of movement. A little surprised the Pac-12 didn't open up really any jobs at all. That's a conference I was keeping my eye on. But yeah. Like you said, SEC, six new coaches. I think for the most part, very good hires. I think Mississippi State's hiring of Chris Jans is fantastic. He makes a lot of sense there. I think he's going to fit in very well at Starkville. I expect that program to get a lot better under his watch. And then Florida, of course, hiring Todd Golden. He was kind of the hot name coming over from San Francisco, the analytic mindset. I think he's going to do very good there. He's going about it the right way in the transfer portal, bringing in guys just fit his team, his style. Fantastic hire there in the mid-major ranks. I think Chattanooga's hire of Dan Earle is a fantastically underrated hire. Coming over from VMI, just resurrected a terrible program. VMI has that smart style like his brother Brian at Cornell. So Chattanooga, again, another program that's in great hands with a new coach.
Yeah, I'm right there with you on the hire of Earle because I felt like he had one of the toughest coaching jobs in all of college basketball. VMI, with it being a military institute, you're not going to be getting a whole lot of transfers. It's very hard to get gentlemen that they want to partake in the military to wind up also playing college basketball for you as well. It's just a case in which you're fighting a little bit of an uphill battle to start with, and a school like VMI being able to have 500 records out there in the SoCon, I would consider that to be the equivalent of like a Sweet 16 at a power conference school. Now, there's obviously no apples to apples comparison with that regard, but I think that if you scale the success that VMI has had the last 2 years under Earle, it's pretty much on par with what you're going to be able to find with any other school in college basketball, because I don't know how many other coaches would have been able to do what he did.
Right, exactly. Whenever you're hiring these guys from mid-major land, it's not just about obvious success, you know, with St. Peter's, for instance, with Holloway. It's about these guys that take terrible programs and make them pretty good programs. And that's what Earle did at VMI. And there's a couple examples across the country, but these are the guys that get overlooked. They move up to these, you know, slightly higher positions. And it really helps from a betting perspective, realizing those coaches that are actually very good and their potential impact on a program the next year.
Yep, and then we did wind up seeing the star player of VMI from last season ending up transferring as well, as we do have Kai McKeon joining me on the podcast. Does a terrific job with a three-man weave. And that'd be Jake Stevens, 6'10", 260-pound big man that shot 50% from three-point range, and he goes to Chattanooga. I think that this is one of the more under-the-radar transfers that we wound up seeing in all of college basketball. Now, I don't think that Stevens is going to be shooting north of 49% from three-point range once again this season. That would be an absolute dream season right there. But I take a look at Chattanooga. You wind up losing Lamont Paris to South Carolina, and you're going to be losing a few guys in the transfer portal. You got to figure as well. But being able to pick up Stevens, I think that was a massive gift for them.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes sense that he wanted to follow Earle. He had a ton of power conference interests. I think just about every school would have taken him. But I think he's going to settle in really nicely at Chattanooga. Obviously knows the conference very well. It's an in-conference transfer. And yeah, if Chattanooga can somehow get Malachi Smith back, convince him to stay, could still be a very dangerous team next year.
I'm right there with you. And what I've noticed with the transfer portal, and I talked about this a little bit with Eli Bedker as well. He does a great job over there at HXCBB, is that when you take a look at the transfer portal, we've noticed a lot more big men this offseason rather than guards. Now, Kendrick Davis is out there as well. He winds coming in from SMU, and I saw Jeff Goodman's list of the schools that have contacted him, and I think that Jeff should have posted up a list of the schools that haven't contacted him, because you'd be crazy to not want to have Kendrick Davis on your team. He's one of the best out there in all of college basketball, but I really think that in recent years, we really saw last year, that it's really become a big man's game. We're noticing fewer star guards, more star forwards, and I'm not sure if you feel this way or not, but when it comes to the transfer portal, being able to land even a halfway decent guard seems to be a little bit tougher than you think it would be.
Yeah, I think it falls off pretty quick. I think we see some elite options right now in the portal, like Davis. Mark Sears obviously went to Alabama, but you know, a guy like Terrence Shannon still there, Nigel Pack. But after that, yeah, it gets pretty homogenous. I'd say it's tougher to find an impact big guy, I suppose. This transfer portal is kind of tough for me. I see a lot of people say it's a little bit weaker than in the years past. That might be true. It's kind of tough to tell when there's 1,500 players in the portal. But I do agree with the sentiment that the guard depth perhaps isn't as elite as you go down the list.
There's no question about it. I do think that you've got more elite big men than you do guards. And speaking of elite big men, really the biggest thing that we wound up seeing in college basketball on Wednesday is the fact that Armando Bacot, he decided that he's going to be returning to North Carolina for another year. Now, I don't think we're going to see a case in which North Carolina is going to be an 8 seed in the NCAA tournament this next season. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I absolutely love the job that Hubert Davis wound up doing, but what are sort of your early expectations for North Carolina at this point? Because you've got to figure that they're going to go after a piece or two in the transfer portal. Dawson Garcia, a little bit of a question mark for the team after he wound up missing the back half of last season. But it seems like a lot of the guys that were critical to that run this year, they're going to be back. Bacot wound up being able to assure people of that on Wednesday. And I take a look at North Carolina, and I think that this is going to be a top 10 team this year and really moving forward under Hubert Davis.
Yeah, he's got the program set up nicely. Obviously, it has the cachet of the name North Carolina. That's never going away. The blue blood history it has. But yeah, with Bacot back, with the rumors that Love might come back and Black and other players in that team, I think they're going to get a lot of number one nods to start the year, certainly coming off the title run. Now, I probably won't have them up there quite as high, but certainly going to be a very good team next year and going forward under Hubert Davis.
Yep, no question. And do you think that there could be a couple parallels to North Carolina this year that we wound up seeing with UCLA last year? Because we remember UCLA. They went from the first four to the final four. They were ranked number two in the preseason. And I didn't think they belonged number two in the preseason coming in. I thought as the season went along, they backed up the fact that they should have been more like a top 10 team. Do you think that that could be a little bit of the case for North Carolina this upcoming season?
Maybe. I think North Carolina going in next year is better than the UCLA situation, because I think UCLA was a product of a lot of luck in the NCAA tournament with the way they got in, first of all. I mean, they snuck into the tournament, nearly lost in the playing game, whereas UNC was purely dominant. And UNC this year had that preseason expectation of, oh, I mean, this is a top 15 team on paper. Sure, they struggled to start the year, but they got their groove back at the end of it. UCLA heading into the tournament last year, I don't think they were on anybody's radar in the top 25 even. So it kind of came out of more of a nowhere place. So I don't think UNC is going to be doomed for quite the fall that UCLA had. Now, UCLA had a great year, but I don't think they're going to be a disappointment, I guess, that UCLA was in a lot of people's eyes.
Yep, I agree with you. I personally did not think that UCLA was a disappointment this year. I know that right. There are others that thought so as well. I mean, losing in the Sweet 16 to North Carolina in the fashion that they wound up doing so, there's absolutely no shame in the way that they wind up bowing out, because if that ball doesn't wind up getting saved in the final minute, who knows? Maybe they're playing for a national championship, but certainly a case in which I think it's going to be intriguing there, and I am in agreement with you. I think that North Carolina coming into this upcoming season in better form than UCLA was coming into the 2021-22 season, as we do have Kai McKeon of the Three Man Weave joining me right here on the podcast. And something else that I want to be noticing as well is that there have already been a few guys who have decided, you know what, I'm going to be returning to school. We mentioned it with Armando Bacot. We wound up seeing it with Mike Miles a couple days ago for TCU. No question, that's going to be big for them. And hey, here's something we haven't been able to say very often. Georgia wound up getting a win. Kerry Oquendo, guy that averaged 15 points per game, he's going to be back with Georgia, even though they wound up seeing a coaching change of Mike White. And I do take a look at a lot of these guys committing early, and I think that it's going to be putting these programs in a little bit of better shape, because as we know, north of 1,300 players in the transfer portal, many of them still have their decisions to make. And if you're able to get these guys on board early, say, you know what, I'm going to be returning to School X, I think that that's going to be big, because you look no further than Indiana last year, had a similar situation with Trace Jackson Davis. And after Jackson Davis decided that he would return to Indiana, a lot of big-time transfers followed suit. And I think that any program like a Georgia, like a TCU, that's able to get this, if they are able to have that agreement from the star player, I think that's going to set them up in very good form to be able to chase these guys in the portal.
Yeah, for sure. That's the number one priority I think a lot of these coaches should have, is take care of your roster first, get your star guy to commit, because that does make it more attractive for potential transfer suitors. You know, it kind of works both ways. I know in Mizzou's case, I know I'm rooting for Dennis Gates to kind of hit, get some of the guys off the roster from last year. But certainly need to take care of your star players, get them to stay, get them on board, and try to lure that talent, which is just everywhere in the transfer portal.
Wait, you don't want the bulk of a roster that had two guys shoot above 30% from three-point range?
Yeah, not really my cup of tea there.
Ooh, the boy. The Missouri outside shooting last year was not very good. Fortunately, Trey Gobillion, coming in from Cleveland State, shot 40% from three-point range. Yeah. So that instantly is able to help them out. And with regards to Missouri, I think that they've done a relatively solid job in the transfer portal. I take a look at Dennis Gates. I like him as a coach. maybe it was a year early for being able to hire Armand. I think that he might need to do a little bit of learning on the job, but I think that he's going to have success with Missouri. Now, I don't think Missouri is going to have aspirations of like an NCAA tournament this upcoming season or anything like that. The talent just, unless if we wind up seeing them go completely bonkers at the transfer portal and get like Kendrick Davis or something like that, probably not going to be there. But I do think that the overall outlook for Missouri is very, very bright, even if this year it's going to be a little bit of a downer.
I'm giving him a chance for sure. He wasn't my first choice to coach Mizzou, but he is a good coach. I do like what he's doing so far in the transfer portal, especially with rumors of guys he might be getting shortly down the road here. Yeah, I'm definitely open-minded here. He clearly, I mean, what he did at Cleveland State a couple years ago, inheriting a team in July with like three guys on the roster, was nothing short of miraculous. So I'm giving him a chance. He's got stiff competition in the SEC with so many good coaches in that league. I think he can make some sort of noise and hopefully lift Mizzou back to a tournament program.
Yep, I think that Dennis Gates is going to be able to find success with Missouri. I think that it's going to take a year or two for him, but I do think that the overall outlook of that program is very, very bright. And when it comes to schools that are doing a good job out there in the transfer portal, I would consider Missouri to certainly be one of them. Or some other schools that you take a look at the transfers that they brought in, and they've really been impressing you, because we've already seen quite a bit of movement, and there have been quite a few schools that have hit it hard and heavy.
I bring up Florida again, because I know Todd Golden's doing so much work down there, but his get of Will Richard was huge from Belmont. I know he had a lot of suitors. Georgetown, surprisingly, bringing in Brandon Murray from LSU, who I think is going to be just a fantastically impactful player next year. Now, I don't know if that's going to make Georgetown a tournament team again under Patrick Ewing, but that was a get that I was a little bit surprised on. So I guess kudos to Ewing early on in the portal. He's certainly taking the right step to getting back to competency.
Yep, I am right there with you. I do think that the transfers that they've brought in have been very good. I take a look at Wyoming as well, bringing in three guys from the Pac-12. That is certainly going to be able to help you out there in the Mountain West. That, while getting four teams in the NCAA tournament, they're certainly going to have something to prove this season after they wound up winning as many games as the two of us in the NCAA tournament. And Kai, even though you didn't wind up winning games in the NCAA tournament as a player, you certainly wound up hitting a lot of bets in the NCAA tournament. And I know that you and everyone else over there at the three-man weave, that would be Matt Cox and Jim Root, are doing absolutely amazing work. Like I said, you guys wound up having a great chat with Tommy Lloyd a couple days ago, and I know that there's a lot on tap for you and the three-man weave in general. So let the good people at home know what's all on tap for you guys and how people could follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, Twitter's the best spot. It's 3MW_CBB. We'll be running our podcast all summer long, every week or every 2 weeks. We'll have some cool guests on all off-season, provide previews when the time is right, and keep you guys updated on the transfer news. But that's 3MW_CBB.
Kai doing absolutely terrific work with the three-man weave and all the gentlemen at the three-man weave whenever they join this podcast. Whenever they join this podcast, they deliver the goods. Today, it was Kai. So, big thanks to Kai McKeon for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast. I give you a little bit of a roundup as to everything that we wound up seeing in college basketball on Wednesday.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the VSiN family of podcasts. And it is always a pleasure to get any of the gentlemen of the three men we've on this fine show. And today it was Mr. Kai McKeon that wound up being able to join me. He does absolutely amazing work. You've got to check out their interview with the Arizona coach and Tommy Lloyd. They wound up doing that a couple days ago. They did great shows all season long with Field of 68, and every time they join this podcast, they deliver the goods. So big thanks to Kai for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you a little bit of a roundup as to all the news and notes that we wound up seeing in college basketball on Wednesday, and we wound up seeing quite a bit of transfer news. We'll get into North Carolina in a second. First things first, Oregon State gentleman in Trey Williams, who was expected to be a big cock for Oregon State. He was not. He wound up delivering the team 3 points per contest. Shot just 12.5% from three-point range. It was a big giant buster-rooney for him. He has decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal after 2 seasons ago in Minnesota. Was averaging more around 6 points, 2.5 boards. Shot 33% from three as a little bit of a combo player that stood right around 6'5"-ish. So got to think that he's probably going to be able to latch on somewhere. Where that somewhere is going to be, who knows? North Carolina wound up having a lot of news as well. We wound up talking about it with Kai McKee and the fact that Armando Bacot, he is back in the fold for this team. And last year, 16.5 points, 13 boards, 1.7 blocks per contest, one of the best players in all of college basketball. Really, in my opinion, the most impactful player in the entire NCAA tournament with what he was able to do in games. He is back for a North Carolina team that is going to be ranked in the top five, going to be rightfully so. I don't know if they're going to be worthy of necessarily number one coming into the season, but this is a top five team, in my opinion, as long as you wind up getting back Caleb Love. I think that that's a big disclaimer, because you did wind up seeing on Wednesday as well the fact that Dawson Garcia, he's not going to be returning to North Carolina. He's going to be entering in the transfer portal. Wound up missing the back half of the season last year. Only wound up playing in 16 games. While he was out there, was relatively solid. Guy that's right around 6'10", 6'11", shot 37.5% from 3.9 points, 5.5 boards per game. Had he been able to come back, would have been very impactful for a North Carolina team that has really been embracing the 3-point shot. But even without him out there, this is a team that they are going to be very solid. They do need to pick up someone in the transfer portal. The recruiting class that they've got coming in, it is relatively solid, but you need someone who's going to be coming in. But that said, this is a North Carolina team that, with getting back Baycott, they should be locked and loaded for a very good season. C.J. Roberts, he was over there at Lamar. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. And had a good year with Lamar. Wound up starting most of the games for the team this last year, 13.5 points, 2.5 assists per contest. Shot only about 31% from three-point range, but certainly was able to give the team quite a bit on defense with a steal per contest. Problem was, Lamar was poopsing and could put absolutely nothing around him. Everyone else on Lamar wound up getting injured. A little bit of a slight guy, 6'1", buck 90 with regards to the frame, but wherever he winds up landing, I think that they're going to be very happy with the production that he's going to be able to deliver. So, got to figure that there's going to be a lot of suitors for E. Probably not as many as for Kendrick Davis. If you wind up seeing the Jeff Goodman list of teams that reach out for him, I think that Jeff should have just put out a list of teams that did not. I mean, it's that long, so we are not going to go through that, but we will go through Dean Knoll, who is an all Ivy League performer this last season. He has decided that he is going to be heading to Stony Brook and had a solid year this last year. 10.5 points per contest, 3.3 boards, 2.7 assists, shot only about 29.5% from 3-point range, but just did it all for a Cornell team that really surprised a lot of people after they wound up opting out of the 2020-21 season with the rest of the Ivy League. They wound up coming back. They were able to make a lot of money for you as they were one of the best against the spread teams in all of college basketball. So we always like guys that make us money, being able to land in good spots. I think that this is going to be one for him. Kirsten McCorkle, he was playing at Virginia this last season, really didn't see a lot of minutes, wound up seeing right around 5 minutes per contest. He has decided that he is going to be heading to Wofford, and I think that this is a very good pickup for Wofford, a guy that stands right around 6'3", buck 85. He's able to dole out the ball a little bit, and I think that he's going to be able to form himself into being a relatively solid shooter as well. You take a look at the recruiting rankings on him coming into the season, and it's not like he was ever necessarily this five-star guy or anything like that. You take a look at how 24/7 Sports wound up rating him in the class of 2021, right around 160th. So I do think that there's some upside here. Wofford, a team that loves to play slow, loves to be able to embrace a three-point shot, so this is a very good fit for him. I think that this is going to be a good fit for Ira Lee as well. He's going to be transferring from George Washington after he wound up beginning his career with Arizona, and he's going to be heading to the College of Charleston, a former top 100 recruit that just did not wind up playing this year in general, wound up spending four seasons at Arizona, transferred into George Washington, never wound up hitting the floor. Best year for him wound up coming during the 2018-19 season with Arizona, 6.5 points, 4 boards per contest. Not a guy that's going to stretch the floor and is able to shoot threes, but at 6'8", 245, is able to give a little bit of rim protection and is able to run the floor, and that's going to be big for College of Charleston. They really need a little bit of a designated rebounder that still plays up tempo, because College of Charleston in the top 5 in all of college basketball last season with regards to possessions per game. That is that up-tempo style that has been brought in with Pat Kelsey coming over from Winthrop, and I think that he's going to be able to play that role very well. So I think that this is very good for all parties. Mason Miller, he was playing at the non-D1 level at Truman State, and it's like the 50th person that Indiana State is bringing from the D2 level up to the D1 level. He's decided that he is going to be going to the Sycamores, and last season while he was at the D2 level, he was able to put up some big-time production, 14 points per contest. Not a guy that's going to be hauling in there a ton of rebounds or anything like that, right around 2 per contest, but his assists per game, that was right around 3.5-ish, shot 88.5% at the free throw line, 44.7% from 3 at 6'2". Not necessarily the tallest guy in the world, but the fact that he's able to shoot like that should be able to help this team out. So that is a big-time gift for Indiana State, and it's clear what they're doing, trying to grab as many good players from the D2 level as humanly possible and seeing what they're going to be able to do at the D1 level. We wound up seeing them bringing in Kavisier McCauley, who was playing at DePaul last season, and ironically enough, he wound up playing for Josh Schertz, the current coach of Indiana State, back when he was coaching at Lincoln Memorial a few seasons ago. So interesting that they're going to be taking that approach. Anderson Murbo, who wound up playing at Cleveland State last year and really didn't play a lot, he is in the transfer portal, one of these situations in which coach winds up leaving, you wind up seeing a mass exodus. Just another piece of that, not a guy that's really going to be missed. This guy's going to be missed a little bit more. Bryce Lasky did not wind up playing last year at St. Francis of PA, but two seasons ago during that 2020-21 season was a starter for the team. Wound up averaging 7.5 points per contest, a career 35% three-point shooter at 6'4". He has decided that he is going to be going to Palm Beach Atlantic. That is a non-D1 school, so this is very easy for your handicap. All you need to note is that Mr. Lasky was at the D1 level a few seasons ago. He is not going to be playing for St. Francis of Pennsylvania this year. You're able to cross him off of your list of players that you need to evaluate, and you're able to move on from there. And if you're wondering who all competes with Palm Beach Atlantic, well, you've got a bunch of schools like the Tampa Spartans. I think that Florida Tech is in there as well, Florida Southern. So it's a non-D1 university, so that is going to be one that makes things all very nice, neat, clean, and easy with regards to your handicap. Mason Landeck also decided that he was going to be going down to the non-D1 level. He's heading to D2 Hawaii Pacific, and for Landeck, it's not like he tore it up or anything like that last season, but with that said, he was able to do a solid job while he was at Eastern Washington this last year. A little bit over 4 points per contest, was a solid glue guy for the team, shot 85% at the free flying, a little bit more of a defensive stopper, so he is no longer going to be with the program. Rob Perry, he was at Stetson this last season. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. I know that we've seen Stetson have a few guys wind up transferring out of the program, and for Perry, you wound up leaving mid-season. You figured that this was going to be the case. He was either going to go pro or he was going to be transferring out, because left after 14 games, and he was the top scorer when he wound up leaving the Stetson Adders. 16 points per contest, 5.5 boards, wound up shooting from three-point range, 35.5% for his career, a 39% three-point shooter. So you got to figure that there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be wanting him out there in the transfer portal. Question is, does the fact that he wound up leaving mid-season wind up pushing a few teams off of him? I do think that that is very much worth noting. Dante Allen, he was playing at Kentucky this last season. He is going to be staying in state. He is going to be going to Western Kentucky. And for Allen, he was one of the most highly touted recruits in the class of 2019, as he wound up actually redshirting a year. And just these last two seasons, him wind up seeing a lot of time with Kentucky. During the class of 2019 by ESPN, top 100 guy this last year, 6.4 minutes per contest. And take a look 2 seasons ago, 2020-21 season, right around 5.5 points per contest, shot 40% from three, 6'6" combo player in Western Kentucky. They are a team that they're looking for guys that they're able to stroke it from 3-point range. They also do a good job of just not fouling in general. They're actually a very smart team under good old Rick Stansberry, who's been there for quite a while and has really been able to build a little bit of something with the Hilltoppers. I think that this is going to be a good fit for them, and I think that he has a chance to absolutely tear it up in Conference USA. Omar Payne, who just couldn't wind up getting any minutes with Illinois whatsoever, he's decided that he's going to be going to Jacksonville, and we wound up seeing a similar player in Kevin Samuel last year, wind up going from the Big 12 down to Florida Gulf Coast, and he wound up averaging 3 blocks per contest, was averaging a double-double. I think that that could be the case for Mr. Payne. Began his career at Florida and at Florida in 2 seasons, wound up averaging right around 3.8 points, 3.5 rebounds per game. This last year at Illinois, 1.8 points, 1.7 rebounds, just could not wind up getting out there on the floor in general. Was not a good fit for him, but a former top 50 recruit in the class of 2019. This is talent that Jacksonville typically does not wind up getting in, and with Jacksonville, they weren't a team that was a blazer on offense, but with regards to points allowed on a per possession basis, one of the best mid-major teams they were going to find in all of college basketball. So this is going to be absolutely massive for them, and I think that he's going to come in immediately, and it's going to be one of the best rim protectors that we wind up seeing. You've got Samuel Keita, who I thought was going to be able to do a little bit of something with NC Central, wound up only averaging 2 points per contest. He has decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal, and we've seen Bryant be very active in the transfer portal as well. They are bringing in Doug Eater to be folk hero from the run that St. Peter's had in the NCAA tournament this last season, but that has had some effects as Lucas Hurtado, he was playing at Bryant this last season, began his career at UAB. He's decided that he is entering into the transfer portal. Was the starter this last year, 28 starts. Not a guy that was going to give you a lot of production with regards to scoring. More of a glue guy. 3.5 assists per contest, 4.4 points, 4.2 rebounds. Did wind up shooting for his career right around 38.5% from 3-point range, but he has decided that he's going to be entering in the transfer portal. Got to think that a team that wants a pass-first guy probably going to be looking his way. UConn, they were very busy in the transfer portal on Wednesday as well. So Cook, a former top 100 recruit, he decided that he was going to be entering in the transfer portal. You may recall during the 2019-20 season, guy was tremendous. 5.8 points, 5.5 boards, 2.5 blocks per contest, and this year actually shot 46% from 3-point range as a 6'9" combo player, but his minutes just wound up dropping after his freshman year, wound up having a bad injury last year that wound up keeping him out much of the 2020-21 season. But with that said, even though they lose a Cook, they wind up bringing interest in Newton, who was very good at Eastern Carolina this last season. They did need a little bit of a guard because RJ Cole has currently decided that he is going to be entering into the NBA draft, and with Newton, 6'5", just pure shooter from Eastern Carolina. 17.7 points, 5 assists per contest, shot from three-point range right around 34% from three, 88% the charity stripe. It was a case in which a three-point shooting percentage was affected a little bit because he was in a lot of situations in which a bad shot for him was better than a good shot for other guys. So you got to expect that in a system like that at UConn, and with having guys like Adama Sanogo and company around him, that he is really going to be able to flourish. So I do think that this is going to be very beneficial for him, and I think that he's going to be able to tear it up. Aquan Smart, who just did not wind up being able to blossom the way that I thought he was going to at Florida National, he's decided that he's going to be in the transfer portal. A former four-star guy that wound up beginning his career at Maryland, didn't see a lot of minutes at Maryland. This last year at Florida National, it was a hot mess this year. 4 points per game, 1.5 assists, did shoot 39% from three-point range, but has never really lived up to his billing that he had coming into Maryland. He has decided that he's going to be entering into the transfer portal. Going to be interesting to see if someone wants a little bit of a reclamation project, because I think the guy has talent. He just needs a right fit. Speaking of East Carolina, I mentioned the fact that they wound up losing Tristan Newton. Well, they also wound up losing Brendan Kelly and Alonzo Frank. Frank wound up coming in from South Carolina, and this last season was relatively solid for the Pirates. 5.5 points, 2.5 boards per game. Did wind up shooting 33% from three-point range while he was at South Carolina, by the way, during the 2019-20 season. 5.3 points, 3.5 boards. So he has shown that at a little bit of a better level, he is able to put up some big numbers. And then you take a look at the other transfer on the board in Brendan Kelly. He was someone that wound up being very much in the background for this team, wound up having as many points as myself, so it's something that's not necessarily going to be impacting them, but certainly you saw a lot of movement with their team. On Wednesday, you did wind up seeing Kyrie Brown, who was playing last year at Seattle. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. Problem with Seattle is that they're just such a top-heavy team, because with Brown, he just really didn't get the chance to do much for this team. He wound up being able to put up right around 4.5 points per contest, and I mean, he was one of their primary reserves. He wound up seeing 20 minutes per contest, a guy that from three-point range shot right in the neighborhood about 32% from distance, 80% at the free throw line, but they just ran so much through their primary guards. You wound up having a three-guard system with them, so that leads to a lot of guys just not necessarily being rubbed in the right direction. So you wound up seeing him decide to enter in the transfer portal, and hey, with 2.5 assists per contest, could be a team out there that is going to be looking at his services. There was a team looking at Samuel Williamson, and that is SMU. He's going to be returning a little bit closer home. Former top 25 recruiting 2019, just has never been able to develop. This kid has all the talent in the world. If SMU is able to tap into this, he is going to be able to dominate out there in the American. A guy that last season, inexplicably, 5.5 points, 3.7 rebounds on 15% three-point shooting. Just a waste of talent. Chris Mack could not get anything out of him whatsoever. If he can go into SMU and he can be halfway decent, it's going to be really, really good for them. So I like what they were able to do there. And speaking of Louisville, Brad Colbert, he decided that he was going to be entering in the transfer portal as well. With Mr. Colbert, not a guy that wound up making any sort of an impact whatsoever, as Mr. Colbert wound up averaging 0.3 points, 0.3 rebounds per game. So not something that you really need to take too much note of there. You don't need to take too much note here. Adu DeHuo, he decided that he was going to be entering in the transfer portal from UAB. Just really didn't get much of a chance to be able to showcase himself. Saw very limited minutes, fewer than 2 points per contest. So he is as good as gone from a UAB program that has been able to do a solid job of being able to bring in some transfers. So we're going to see if they're going to be able to continue that. Prosper Obaitabubi, hopefully I'm saying that one correctly. He wound up beginning his career at Chattanooga, transferred over to Longwood this last season, but never wound up seeing the floor. He is going to be entering in the transfer portal. There was a lot expected from him when he wound up going to Chattanooga, wound up averaging 3.5 points per contest during the 2020-21 season. I thought at a lower level like Longwood, he would be able to tear it up. Problem was, he just never wound up being able to get out there on the floor, so he has decided that he's going to be entering in the transfer portal, and it's very questionable whether or not he is going to be playing basketball at the D1 level ever again. Sam Beskind, who was a walk-on at Samford, he's decided that he's going to be going down to the non-D1 level. Colorado School of the Mines, as he wound up averaging 0.3 points per contest. Not really much of note here. What I think is going to be interesting, though, is that we're seeing quite a few of these guys that were at the D2 level and tore it up and they're deciding to go to some of these mid-majors out there in the D1, most notably schools that are out there in the Ryzen League, and you wound up seeing that with regards to Quentin Green, and also I should say the Missouri Valley Conference, as you wound up having Indiana State grab a bunch of those as well. But Quentin Green, you take a look at what he was able to do last year at Cedarville, and he's going to be adding to Valparaiso. This is a guy that can really put up some numbers. Did not wind up playing during the 2021-22 season, but wound up having an absolutely rambunctious year during the 2020-21 campaign. In that season for Cedarville, he was able to put up 13 points per contest, wound up shooting from three-point range right around 38.5% from distance, 78.5% at the free throw line, all while being able to give the team right around 4.5 rebounds per game. Someone who I think is going to be able to come in, 6'7" combo player, and really be able to give Valparaiso some minutes. So that is good for this team. You wound up seeing with South Carolina State losing their coach in Mr. Madlock. A little bit of an exodus here. Almiac performer Sean Edwards has decided that he's going to be entering into the transfer portal. Someone who last season was able to give the team 8.5 points, 3 assists per game, so it was a little bit of a glue guy for a South Carolina State team that was really able to kick it up with their defense. Last 2 seasons, wound up shooting a combined about 34.5% from 3-point range, and did a much better job with his free throw shooting as well. The previous year, 2020-21, shot 61.5% at the free throw line, 78.5% this season, so he's going to be someone that, out there on the transfer portal, there are going to be some schools that are going to be taking a look at him. Got to feel like there's going to be a few schools that are taking a look at Chad Veening as well. He had decided that he is going to be transferring away from Morgan State. With Morgan State, he didn't necessarily have a lot of production, but that said, with Veening, was able to put up right around 7.5 points per contest and became a part-time starter for the team. Was able to give the team 3 boards per contest, had a good 6'10", 280-pound frame, so going to be interesting to see if he winds up landing elsewhere. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. Zion Bethea. Last year he was at Austria, just did not wind up playing at all. He has decided that he's going to be going to St. Francis of Brooklyn. Bethea had some good expectations for him coming out of the state of New Jersey. Guy that's 6'3", able to stroke threes, and for St. Francis of Brooklyn, they just need any sort of offense whatsoever. So he has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. Will Reeves, a guy that was at Arizona last year, and I mean, the bigger news is that Ben Mathurin, who was at Arizona last year, he decided that he is going to be entering into the NBA draft. He is as good as gone, but Will Reeves also decided that he was going to be entering in the transfer portal. Guy that's 6'3", wound up being a guy that wanted coming over from the state of Washington to play for Tommy Lloyd. He said that he's going to be entering in the transfer portal. Really not much loss there. Mathurin, meanwhile, 17.5 points, 5.5 boards, 2.5 assists per contest. He's going to be a first-round pick. He was one of the most impactful players in all of college basketball. Him being out of the fold is going to hurt Arizona a little bit, but that was to be expected. The big question for them at this point is Christian Coloco. Is he going to be able to come back or not? Because, I mean, I think that that's where all the chips wind up lying for this team, but he did wind up seeing Reeves enter into the transfer portal. Also with UConn, you wound up seeing Matt Gary a little bit under the radar. He decided that he's going to be entering in the transfer portal. Guy that the last 2 years wound up seeing action in 11 contests. He was not going to see the floor whatsoever. 6'5", 195-pound gentleman that at a mid-major can be a nice role player at this level. He just wasn't able to do anything whatsoever. So he has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. Diu Diang. He has decided that he is going to be transferring away from UTSA. The Roadrunners. Meep, meep. And he wound up having a rough go of it. But Diang, even though he wound up missing some games, he was rock solid for this team. How about him in 25 contests, being able to give the team 13.5 points, 5.5 boards. Not a great 3-point shooter at 30%. Wound up taking nearly 8 threes per game. It was a situation which a bad shot for him was better than a good shot for other guys, because there was just absolutely no offense for this team whatsoever. And he has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. So going to be interesting to see what his market is going to be like, because he didn't necessarily shoot threes great, but at the same time, just mentioned it, the fact that he wound up having to try to put the team on his back. Iman Washington wound up seeing a little bit of a fall from his freshman to his sophomore year at Illinois State, and he has decided that he's going to be transferring away. Guy that during his freshman year at Illinois State, 5.3 points, 4 boards per contest, didn't shoot the 3 grade at 28.5%, but this last year, 6'6" combo player wound up seeing a big dip in minutes from 21.5 to more like 12.5, only about 2 points per contest, so he's going to be looking elsewhere, trying to be able to find some more minutes and just get some playing time in general as he's in the transfer portal. You wound up seeing with Maine having Vuskan Mesaic decide to enter into the transfer portal. He was Mr. Do-It-All for a Maine team that It's called what it is. One of the worst teams in all of college basketball last season, but began his career at Hofstra, wound up having 9.3 points, 4 boards, 3 assists per contest, shot 85% the free throw line, and 35.5% from 3-point range. Problem was Maine, despite being a very slow team. They were one of the worst teams in all of college basketball in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis, but on a real poop stain of a program, he was able to be halfway decent. So we're going to see what his services are going to be able to provide for someone else. He is in the transfer portal. Former top 100 recruit for North Carolina, Anthony Harris. He also decided late on Wednesday that he was going to be entering in the transfer portal. Just could never really see a lot of playing time. He wound up actually seeing the bulk of his playing time during the 2019-20 season. Only a few games, but was able to average 7 points per contest. These last few seasons, became a guy that really couldn't even get in off the bench. A former top 100 recruit who had 6'4", is able to shoot threes relatively well. I think that he's going to come into a school, and I think that at a lower level, this guy could be an absolute animal. But with that said, just could not wind up finding his footing at North Carolina. He has decided that he is going to be entering into the transfer portal. Jimmy Nichols Jr., who was playing at VCU this last season, he's decided that he is going to be going to Coastal Carolina. Last year from this year, only wound up playing in 8 games. Season before, while he was at Providence, he was able to actually see some starts. And during the 2018-19 season at Providence, actually saw 18 starts. That 2020-21 season, right around 6 points per contest. Not a guy that just completely lit it up with regards to scoring, but did shoot 40% from 3-point range, 85% at the free throw line. Just could not wind up getting down that VCU system. He's a 6'8 combo player that's able to shoot threes, not able to generate steals the way that VCU would like. Him at Coastal Carolina, very good fit. Coastal Carolina has really been embracing guys that are able to do a solid job of being able to make the three, so I think that that's going to be big for him. Robbie Robinson, who was actually a starter a few seasons ago at Nevada. This last season, he was playing at New Orleans. Could not wind up staying out there on the floor. Played just 7 games. He's now going to be playing at Point Loma Nazarene, which is one of the better D2 schools they were able to find in all of college basketball. While he was at Nevada during the 2019-20 season, wound up averaging 5 rebounds per game, and I mentioned it. Started 31 games for them, so Point Loma getting a former Nevada starter. That said, just could never wind up working out for him at New Orleans. System wasn't a good fit for him, and on top of that, wound up going through a lot of injuries. So you wish him absolutely nothing but the best at the non-D1 level, and with that said, we no longer have to worry about evaluating him. Sherman Brashear has decided that he's going to be entering in the transfer portal, and he's going to be heading to UT Rio Grande Valley. Was playing at Western Kentucky this last season, 3.5 points per contest. Got to feel like this is a little bit of an effect as to seeing Dante Allen from Kentucky decide to go into Western Kentucky, but with that said, a gentleman that last season could only put up right around 3.5 points per contest, shot 33% from 3, but as a 6'5 combo player and a native of the state of Texas, I think that this is going to be able to do him some good. Got to think that UT Rio Grande Valley is going to be able to find some solid minutes, and a guy that I think is going to be able to shoot the 3 relatively well for a Grand Valley team that they liked a little bit of outside presence and a team that turned the ball over a whole heck of a lot. So he has decided that he is going to be transferring away. Boogie Anderson, that's a very good name. We've seen a lot of transfers within the Summit League, and this is the latest of them, as Anderson has decided that he is going from South Dakota, and he's going to be heading to UMKC. He was a Summit League all-defensive player while he was at South Dakota, and this last season, started 17 games, was able to give the team 6.5 points per contest. Biggest liability with him is that he's only 6'3", and really didn't take any threes, so that is a little bit of an issue, but one of the better on-ball defenders in the conference, in a conference that, let's call it what it is, you don't have a lot of defense, so I do think that he'll be a good cog for a UMKC team that they're looking for their first NCAA tournament in quite a while. We wound up seeing a pair of New Mexico State Aggies decide to enter in the transfer portal. LeVar Williams along with Will McNair Jr. McNair Jr. was the more impactful of the two gentlemen. 6.5 points, 5 rebounds per game at 6'10", was a very good rim protector for this team. Not a guy that was going to light it up from 3-point range or anything like that, but certainly did a solid job down low. And then you take a look at what you were able to get out of Williams. Wound up playing in 17 games, 8.5 minutes per contest with 2.5 points per game. A guy that is able to shoot a couple threes, and if he's able to find the right team, should be able to be a nice rotation piece. He's only 6 feet tall, so you got to figure that he's going to need to dole out the ball a little bit more, but he decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal. Justin Brown, who was playing at Jackson State this last season, he has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal, and just a guy that in general Good on line defining a lot of minutes with the Jackson State team. That the backcourt for this team, nobody really wound up being able to do a solid job for this bunch. Now, when you take a look at the front court, it was very solid for this team, but Justin Brown was only able to average right around 3.5 points per contest, so he decided that he was going to be entering in the transfer portal. Greg Elliott has also decided that he is going to be transferring away. You saw him get suspended a few times at Marquette for disciplinary issues, and he's a guy that's really able to shoot it from three-point range. While he was at Marquette, for his career, shot 41% from three this last season, 38.5% from three-point range. It wound up waning a little bit towards the back half of the season, but still, 7 points per contest in the 28 games that he was able to play. Needs to work on rebounding. Never averaged more than 2.5 boards per game, but guy that is able to be a pure scorer. So he is going to be wanted out there in the transfer portal. Luke Turner was wanted out there in the transfer portal, and he has found a landing spot as he is going to be going to UC Riverside. He's playing at Wofford this last season. Didn't wind up putting up big numbers, right around 3 points per contest, but a guy that is able to do a solid job as a good on-ball defender at 6'7", capable of being able to shoot threes. These are the guys that UC Riverside likes. Now UC Riverside needs to find guys that actually make their three-pointers, as you know, he wound up shooting 30% from three-point range, but you've got a Riverside team that they play very slow, very defense-oriented, much like Wofford. So I do think that the fit going to be relatively seamless there. You've got Alex Fudge, who has decided that he's going to be staying within the conference, and he's going to be heading to Florida, a guy that was a four-star recruit, according to most of these recruiting databases, and only wound up having right around 3.5 points per contest this last season, mostly because he just didn't wind up seeing a lot of minutes in general. I was a little bit surprised. I would have been playing him a little bit more if I were Will Wade, because you take a look at what he was able to do towards the front half of the season, and he wound up having some very good outputs. You take a look at him from opening night to January 15th. So first 17 games of the season, right around 5.5 points, 4.5 boards from a true freshman. That's very good. And then towards back half of the season, wound up just falling out of favor in general. So I do think that Florida going to be able to utilize him well. Probably he's going to need to work on his three-point shot in that Todd Golden system. But no question, I think that this is going to work out for both parties. TJ Berger, who wound up beginning his career at Georgetown, wound up playing this last season at San Diego. He has said that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal at San Diego. Wound up putting up just 3 points per contest. A career 33% three-point shooter. Really saw no minutes when it came to Georgetown either at 6'4". Able to give you a little bit of floor spacing, but certainly the college career has not necessarily been what he's wanted it to be. So he has decided that he is going to be transferring away. You've also got Aaron Murphy entering into the transfer portal. This last year at UC Davis, wound up seeing action in 24 games, but was never really able to find his footing. Only about 2 points per contest. Free throw shooting percentage went from 78% to 55%. 6'6", a little bit of a combo player that did wind up putting up right around 3 rebounds per game, and you got to think that that's really where he's going to need to attack on the glass if he's going to be able to catch on with the D1 roster. So he's in the portal. And then we were talking about this a little bit earlier with Kai McKean, the fact that Kerry Okwendo is going to be returning to Georgia, a guy that did not wind up doling out the ball too much, but was able to give the team 15 points per contest, chipped in there a little bit over 4 rebounds per game. And take a look at it towards back half of the season, this guy wound up having some monster performances, double figures in each of the team's final 13 games in that stretch. 18.8 points, 4.5 boards, shot only about 32% from three, but he was able to improve that as the season went along as well, because he was a 27.5% three-point shooter for the entirety of the season. And don't get to say this very often, Georgia wound up getting a win. Mike White seems to be doing a solid job with that program. J.D. Davison, he has decided that he is going to be entering into the NBA draft. A former top 10 recruit in the class of 2021, just wound up having turnover woes. 3 turnovers per contest, was able to give Alabama 8.5 points, 5 boards, 4.3 assists per game, never could really shoot it well from three-point range, right around 30% from three-point range. Got to think that he's going to be highly touted going into the NBA draft, but sounds like he is as good as gone. Peyton Watson, who just could not wind up finding the floor whatsoever with UCLA, only wound up putting up about 3.5 points per game. He really didn't do anything whatsoever for UCLA. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the NBA draft as well. A guy that I think is actually going to be a solid pro, and if he would have been able to return to UCLA, he would have been able to do some solid things. But with regards to production from last year, you're really not losing any of it. Now, this is a little bit of an intriguing story. PJ Hall apparently wound up having surgery on a foot that he wound up injuring it during spring break. It seems as though it was a little bit of fracture, so we're going to be just taking note of this, because PJ Hall last year was the heart and soul of this Clemson team. Wound up starting every game, 15.5 points, 6 boards per contest, shot right around 31% from three as a 6'10" combo player. With them getting in Jalen Llewellyn, the arrow seems to be pointing upward with Clemson, so we're going to be taking a look at that. Damian Baugh,
About 48 hours after Mike Miles of TCU decided that he was going to be returning for another year with the Horned Frogs, he has decided that he's going to be entering in the NBA draft, but is going to be keeping his eligibility maintained. Someone who last year at TCU, he wound up having massive turnover issues. 3.3 turnovers per game. Good on-ball defender, 10.5 points, 4.5 boards, 4.5 assists per game, but also 27% three-point shooter. I just don't understand who would want him in like the NBA or the G League, in all honesty. I think that he needs a lot more seasoning. Maybe it's because, I don't know, I'm not an NBA draft scout or anything like that, but it just seems to me that there'd be no market for him whatsoever with regards to any sort of an NBA team. He'd probably be playing in like Spain or something like that. So I anticipate him coming back to TCU, but that's just me personally. DeAndre Williams, he has decided that he is going to be entering into the NBA draft and maintaining his eligibility. Gentleman who, at 6'9", is a career 40.5% three-point shooter. This last year shot 30% from three, so a little bit of fall off there, but 11 points, 6 boards per contest. Was banged up throughout the season, but you could tell that when he was firing all cylinders, Memphis was one of the best teams in all of college basketball. So we are going to be taking note of whether or not he winds up staying in the NBA draft or if he winds up being able to go back to school as well, because that is going to be absolutely massive for the fortunes of Memphis, or if he winds up entering in the transfer portal, which we have seen plenty of that. If he winds up going portaling, that would certainly be hurting them. And then we wind up seeing Tre'Quavion Smith. No shock here. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the NBA draft. He was at NC State this last season, an NC State team that really just wanted to flame me out. But I mean, he did a very solid job as a freshman, being able to put up a little bit over 16 points per contest. Not necessarily the most efficient 16 points per contest, but still wasn't a bad three-point shooter. Right around 37% is what he wound up shooting from three-point range. And if you take a look at it from January 12th on, so final 16 games of the season, 18.5 points per contest, 2.5 assists, 1.4 steals per game, shot from three-point range, 38.5% from three on 9.1 threes per game. So this guy's able to bomb it from three-point range. He is maintaining his eligibility. I think that he's going to be as good as gone personally, but that's a guy that is able to put up some buckets, and hopefully we'll be able to put up some winning bets for you once the college basketball season winds up getting started. And until then, we need to do all the legwork to be able to get those winning bets. Bets that are won during the college basketball season, they're won right now with great preparation and being able to take a look at what the landscape is going to be like. So if you like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you've got a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you've got one or two ways to be able to throw those in. First one is my Twitter timeline, at GUnit_D1. Keep in mind, letters CM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via the 5-star review. Big thanks to Kai McKeon of the 3-Man Weave for joining me in the last segment, and I will be catching you guys every single day throughout the entirety of the year, not just the regular season, but the off season as well, which means I'll be coming at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.